The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, Davis Johnson, Vice President and Head of U.S. Public Sector for a company called Riverbed. Davis, how are you?
I'm doing great, John.
You know, this Riverbed company is a name that's been around a while. I think many of my listeners kind of in the back of their mind, they kind of know it's there, or they've talked to someone about it, and they have an idea. It's almost like it's in the background in a lot of different agencies, and they don't really know what it is. I thought I'd bring you in, and you could say, tell them exactly what Riverbed does and what they don't do and where they fit in for the federal information technology folks that are listening. So tell us about your background and tell us about Riverbed, please.
Sure. My background, I've been in federal IT since 2004. I had a commercial IT background before that. And right now, I'm currently, as you said, John, the head of U.S. public sector for Riverbed. Riverbed's the market leader in providing application performance infrastructure. And by that, I mean we provide solutions that make sure applications perform as expected, data's available when and where it's needed, and that we secure the data so that it's easier to get to and easier to protect for the federal government.
And as I was sitting in the green room waiting for you, I got an email for a company that wanted me to sign up for a webinar, and the webinar was on Web Application Attack Report. I mean, it was just perfect timing, wasn't it?
Very good.
Speaking of perfect timing, I think Riverbed is almost in the perfect storm here. If you get a sense of what's going on in the federal IT community, and I listen to what Tony Scott has to say, I get a lot of people on the air here. You know, there's a whole lot of terms that are thrown out there. One thing that's thrown out is cloud first. Another thing that's thrown out is continuous monitoring. Another thing that's thrown out is transparency. And boy, I like to make all these big grandiose statements too, but you know, when push comes to shove, yeah, how do you do it? And I'm, you know, I'm reading about Riverbed, coming up with notes and going, now wait a minute, if you take those five or six priorities that Tony Scott has, most of them involve a network, and most of them involve transparency with a network, getting information from a network, so maybe monitoring a network. And this is exactly the products that Riverbed provides, isn't that right?
Absolutely. So we've been around since 2004, and our original product for the market was just optimizing networks so that you would get local area network-like performance over a wide area network. But now we've evolved to be a true application infrastructure company specializing in, as I said, making sure applications perform exactly as you want and need them to do. The problem is with data center consolidation and cloud-first initiatives, applications are getting further and further away from the users. And we specialize in what we say click-to-disk performance management. So from the end user all the way down to the disk in the data center or in the cloud, we ensure that the government can see how the applications are performing. So if there are any bottlenecks, we can determine whether it's on the network, within the data center, or perhaps even out at the user's edge site. So we're the only company right now who does all three things very well. We provide the visibility that you referred to. We also optimize the networks to make sure they perform better as expected. And finally, we provide controls to make sure the applications that need the network bandwidth the most get it.
Yeah, I'm one of those computer geezers. I've seen everything, and I still think of a personal computer as a hard drive, and I load it up with a CD, and I got my application right there. I don't even know stinking network. It's right there. It's with me. But every step along the way, then it became client-server, and it was down the hall. Then all of a sudden it became maybe in a different building. Then all of a sudden it's in the cloud. At each step along the way, guess what? I'm getting further and further from my Microsoft Office or Lotus 1-2-3 or whatever it happens to be. So I think it's an interesting concept there, is that people talk about the cloud, but really what's happening is people are getting distanced from their applications with that risk associated with that distance, isn't there?
Absolutely true. It's getting harder and harder for traditional network administrators to do their jobs, to figure out, you know, where the network traffic is flowing from the user to the application. Applications are becoming more important than ever. If you look at Office 365, for instance, we say Office 365 is the gateway drug for cloud. Everybody is now starting to test things like Office 365 and Salesforce.com and realize that applications no longer need to live in government data centers. There's always going to be specific mission-oriented applications which don't move to the cloud, but two-thirds of government applications right now are either moving to the cloud or considering moving to the cloud. The beauty about a good network performance management, application performance management suite is it doesn't care where the applications actually live. As a matter of fact, if they're in the cloud, it makes it even more important that you have those tools because, you know, it's not just your domain anymore. You're dependent upon other companies to deliver those applications. So as a matter of making sure that they meet their service levels to you, you need these tools to make sure that everything's working as it's supposed to.
And back in the day when your Microsoft Office went from your hard drive to a hard drive down the hall, sometimes there was latency and delays and people would look at the network and try to figure out what to do. But now, especially with something like Office 365, perhaps your agency is getting pushed to move to the cloud and there's latency. And you go, well, what's going on? And call up Davis and yell and scream. But someone who's listening to this interview is going to get yelled and screamed at because of the latency, aren't they?
Yeah. Latency is the silent killer of application performance. There's no question about it. Bandwidth by itself does not solve the problem of application performance. We have a lot of customers in the government who deploy applications overseas, and sometimes they don't have terrestrial landlines. They have a lot of SATCOM communications. We do a lot of business, by the way, with the Department of Defense and the intelligence community, and latency is the biggest issue to make sure that applications perform as they're intended to perform. So we actually specialize in SATCOM, and we have unique solutions in the market that address how to optimize SATCOM links and address the problems associated with latency.
And back in the day, that was called a wide area network or a WAN, and we'll talk more about WANs down the road. But, you know, talk about DOD, I think of everywhere in the world, north, south, east, west, and ships and moving. And your company has 2,500 employees. 97% of the Fortune 100 is using Riverbed stuff. I mean, it's got to be valuable for somebody.
Yep, and every agency in the federal government, every branch of Department of Defense, almost all of the major intelligence agencies and half the independent government agencies all use Riverbed because we have a legacy since 2004, once again, with a product that we called Steelhead. It's still known as Steelhead in the market, and it's very well installed. And that's become the foundation upon which we've built this company to specialize in application performance infrastructure. So people are learning now, especially as they address things like cybersecurity, that they already have some of the infrastructure in place that they need in order to address some of the more complex problems that are coming up.
And so what you folks did is you commissioned a survey of federal IT professionals. And if you go to your Twitter feed, at Riverbed, you find out that 89% of federal leaders are worried about security. That's interesting. I mean, that's right out of your survey, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a surprise. I'm not going to say I was surprised that security did so well on the survey. What surprised me is security is now a bigger issue for how IT managers manage IT at the branch. It's actually a bigger issue now than application performance. It used to always be performance was key. And the reason people push compute and networking and storage out to the branch, and by the way, for the government, branch, edge, remote site, they all mean the same thing depending on whether it's a tactical mission or a government civilian mission. But the point is, the problem used to require that you push as much compute and network and storage to the edge so that you still could deliver quality services to the constituents. Today, there's new solutions that are coming out on the market because bandwidth is becoming more and more available. And now that it's there, you can choose new strategies to deliver services out to the remote sites. And that's something we're spending a lot of time on.
And it's getting confusing. Now we have to worry about broadband, internet, cellular, what they call MPLS. I mean, it's the concept of a wide area network is broadened to a point where it gets to be very, very difficult just to understand where your network is and how it's changing.
Yeah, the traditional network topography that the government has been using for a very long time, where you have a couple of regional data centers and dedicated circuits to your remote sites, is pretty much a thing of the past. Hybrid IT and hybrid networking have created an environment where the government can get, you know, higher performance at lower cost by utilizing multiple different network topologies. So applications are becoming smarter and smarter, and they'll choose the best path to the customer based on what's available at that particular point in time and the type of workloads that they need in order to deliver the application. So hybrid IT, hybrid WAN, SD-WAN, these are all technologies that are coming together to deliver a ubiquitous experience for any app anywhere in the government, whether it's on a laptop, on an iPad, or a mobile device. It's a really exciting time.
When I was driving down here, I was listening to the radio, I think Federal News Radio, they're talking about a parking situation in D.C. where the parking meters are going to dynamically or surge price for the parking. And I see what's happening with networks, too, is they're adapting to surges and they're dynamically balancing the different needs for all over the place, which Riverbed fits right into, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And same thing with the new toll lanes, right?
That's right, the surge. Yeah, surge pricing. I hate it.
So that's what SD-WAN is going to deliver to the market. It's going to allow the application to intelligently determine what's the most cost-effective and highest bandwidth, lowest latency track in order for it to deliver the application to the customer. And that's exactly what we do. We've got everything that the government needs in order to do that today.
Well, you just wrote an SD-WAN. It sounds like a guy from China. No, it's actually a topic, and we're going to talk about that after the break, a software-defined wide area network. Let's take a break, come back, talk more about Riverbed. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, Davis Johnson, Vice President, Head of U.S. Public Sector for Riverbed. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Davis Johnson, Vice President, Head of U.S. Public Sector for Riverbed. And we're talking about networks and WANs and LANs. And we throw out some fancy names. And there are some listeners who go back and forth and know all these terms. But there's some just regular Joe Sixpack listeners. Let's start off with, so we know there's networks out there. And we know normal networks are connected with these cables. And now there's an innovation called a software-defined network. And so take the story from there. I'll toss to you, Davis. And so what's the next step in networking?
So this is something that's pervasive throughout IT. It's not just software-defined networking or software-defined wide area networking. It's really software-defined everything in IT. So everyone's familiar with VMware and Hyper-V and what's happened in the server space with virtualization. And those same technologies are now being implemented across storage and networking. So software-defined networking is just taking all of the functions that typically were delivered by a router or a switch and virtualizing them so they can be deployed on any device anywhere, and at the same time adding autonomous capabilities so they intelligently determine how to basically route data across networks. So the customers get a lower cost, higher performing solution that's easier to manage.
Here's a different survey. eWeek did a survey at VMworld. And they found out that of the people they surveyed there, 77% were using software-defined networks, and 29% were looking into software-defined wide area networks. So it seems to be a technology, a time who's come. It's ready. Hmm?
Absolutely. Especially, our expertise is going to be on software-defined wide area networking because, once again, we have been the leaders in wide area networking optimization for a very long time. So the other thing that's happening in the industry is agencies, in particular in the government, consolidate around the data center consolidation initiative. There's more and more need at the branch site, at the edge site, where the steelheads and the switches and routers are located in order to virtualize those functions and come up with a solution that has a smaller footprint, is more agile and more flexible, and allows the customer to use hybrid paths back to the data center. So SD-WAN plays a very big role in that.
And, you know, I've had people in here and pounding the table talk about we got to move to the cloud, we got to go cloud first and shared first, and then there's some limitations in there. And just, you know, if you take and put services in the cloud, it can delay things or there are mistakes in administering it. If you can efficiently manage that cloud from, you know, talk about from the data center to the branch, all of a sudden becomes more and more efficient, just that process alone.
Yeah, absolutely, John. So just because you move applications to the cloud doesn't mean you no longer have a say in how the applications perform. On the contrary, it's actually even more important that you have newer and more capable tools to monitor network performance, application performance, and optimize network flows. So we team with a lot of telecommunications companies, for instance, who are moving government agencies to Azure or other cloud service providers so that they get the optimization features they had with their own data centers. It's as important or even more important than it ever was.
Certainly with a company that has 3,000 partners, I'm sure you partner with many, many companies on all kinds of different levels. I'm going to switch from the VMware survey to your survey. And this is a fascinating part of this survey you folks came up with, was that 51% of federal IT leaders say it takes 24 hours or more to detect application performance issues. Whew. Sounds like about 23 hours too long, huh?
It is. It is, no question about it. And this gets back to the points I've made several times. Applications are getting harder and harder to manage as it relates to the path they take from the browser or the phone or the tablet to the data center because of so many new implementations of how applications are being deployed. So a lot of the complexity that's being inserted into more complicated network flows has created a much greater need for people to find a way to track these applications. So it's the government admitting that it's harder than it's ever been, while also acknowledging that they need more help to figure this problem out.
I'm going to use a big fancy term here. You can explain it. What is a hyper-converged solution?
Hyper-converged solution or hyper-converged infrastructure is by far one of the biggest buzzwords. I mean, you'll hear it as much
as... Oh, boy, I'm going to use it every time on the air then. Someone will think I'm smart.
You'll hear it as much as you hear cybersecurity.
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, it reminds me of a hyper-converged...
There's no doubt that you're very smart, so you don't have to use the word to convince anybody. But hyper-converged infrastructure is creating really, really dense platforms that combine compute, storage, networking, and virtualization in such a way that you can very, very quickly and efficiently deploy services across a commodity-based platform. So Cisco and NetApp and other companies got together, as well as EMC and Dell, and they started creating converged platforms a long, long time ago. What's happening now is people are coming up with purpose-built hyper-converged solutions, and that's what we're doing with our Steel Fusion appliance, which is a hyper-converged solution, and quite frankly, the only hyper-converged solution that's built and purpose-built specifically for the edge. So we have a very, very small footprint appliance that's specifically designed to address the unique issues at the edge sites.
You know, when it comes to monitoring, people like Tony Scott talk about transparency. But, you know, a lot of companies have a fragmented approach to monitoring and trying to figure out what's going on. I think that's reflected in the federal agencies as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Traditionally, people would look at monitoring from the standpoint of network performance monitoring or application performance monitoring or perhaps threat detection monitoring. And one of the good things about the new renewed focus on cybersecurity in the federal government is we like to say that performance monitoring comes along for the ride. So Riverbed doesn't consider itself a pure play cybersecurity vendor. Most of those companies spend most of their time and energy focused on the problem when the attack occurs. We're focused more on what happens before and after the attack. So we look for network anomalies, for instance, so you hopefully could get proactive guidance on a threat or attack before it occurs. The neat thing about monitoring or performance monitoring, it needs the same types of data that cybersecurity systems need. So it needs to capture packets to see what was going on at a point in time. It needs to track network flows so it can see the paths that users were taking over the network, users who perhaps weren't invited to be on the network. So we're seeing a lot of benefit as government agencies implement cybersecurity plans for their agency. We're saying, well, let's do application and network performance at the same time, because really a lot of the tools are, they support each other.
You know, you need real-time information for cyber attacks, that's obvious, but you need real-time information to measure your ability to use the cloud, to measure mobile computing, and even making this transition to data center consolidation. I mean, it's not just cybersecurity that needs real-time information, is it?
Absolutely not. You can't do proper network performance management, application performance management, without doing the exact same things that cybersecurity systems do. And once again, that gets to having a TVU-like capability to see everything that was going on the network at a particular point in time, and at the same time see everything that's going across the network down to the particular application, to the particular user, to the particular geography in the globe. And that's what a good network performance monitoring, application performance monitoring suite is going to do for you.
You know, I teach at Georgetown, and I usually give students grades, and I don't give all A's, I'll tell you that much. And so I like the position where I'm giving grades. I don't like receiving grades, but a lot of agencies have taken and been graded on something called FITARA. And one of the things they're graded on is data center consolidation. And by the way, on the 7-part scorecard, none of these agencies got very well on the whole concept of data center consolidation. I mean, it almost plays directly into the Riverbed's story, doesn't it?
It does. And I'm not sure I was really surprised by that, but I was kind of surprised that the grades were as low as they were. There's a lot of good coming out of the data center consolidation initiative. There are a lot of horizontal non-mission specific applications which are being migrated to shared service centers, cloud service providers. And that's all good. That saves the government a ton of money. I think the part that's a bit of a surprise is there's a little bit less of the private data center consolidation going on than OMB would like to have seen by this point in time. So the government still has a long way to go to collapse their own private networks and their own private data centers for their own private clouds into as few data centers as possible. And once again, that's our sweet spot. We have been focused on that since 2004. By giving LAN-like performance over a wide area network, we make it very, very easy to do data center consolidation. So we're all in. We're doing it all the time.
And the reason why is because your company has 236 app performance patents. I mean, I've had companies on here with three patents. I'm going, well, geez, three is a lot. I know how much trouble it is to get one patent, but you have 236 patents. And that's why the technology allows you to optimize the WAN for a wide range of agencies. Let's take a break, come back, talk more about Reverbed, and maybe talk about Fatara and Grades. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Davis Johnson. He's the vice president for public sector for Reverbed. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Davis Johnson, vice president, head of U.S. public sector at Reverbed. And I may surprise my listeners to know that this is also a podcast. So you can stream it on federalnewsradio.com. You can go to the Apple iTunes and search for Federal News Radio or Federal Tech Talk. And if you're traveling somewhere, you can listen to it in your car and your headphones. So all kinds of ways to get information. And if you want information on Reverbed, you can do what I do. Just follow the tweets. It's awful simple, at Reverbed. And my handle is at Ray Gilray because I'm kind of an unusual character. At Ray Gilray for me, at Reverbed. And many of my listeners say, well, geez, John, how can I keep up with this Reverbed stuff? How do I come up with WANs and LANs? And what do you read? And so, Davis, what do you read to keep up with this technology anyway? What kind of blogs?
Oh, my goodness. You'll probably be disappointed. I don't read a ton of blogs. I do read magazines like Signal. Also read a lot of trade magazines for IT and networking. But as of yet, I'm not a big producer of my own tweets and my own blog, so I need to work on that.
You better get with the program, buddy. You better get with the program, that's for sure. No, it's just an easy way to communicate, and more people try to get their information, especially I think Twitter's almost designed for people in the news and media people because that's how they keep track of what's going on. It's a strange, strange world.
I believe me, I get it. I just haven't gotten around to it. Our chief technology officer, our chief marketing officer, our chairman, they're all, you know, pretty avid tweeters and bloggers, so I've got work to do. Fortunately, our acting CTO for Federal, Sean Applegate, is very busy doing his own tweets and his own blogs.
And if you want to learn specifically about the survey we mentioned, you can go to riverbed.com and download the survey. 89% of federal leaders are worried about data security across remote offices, the central office, and talks about it and gives all kinds of interesting figures. And by the way, they have like four or five ways to digest this information. There's white papers, there's blogs, there's videos. The website, you know, hits you over the head with social ways to understand these concepts. And it's a very interesting website. I guess based in San Francisco?
Yes.
So that's where you get the talent there. I mean, it's pretty good. Lots and lots of videos, short, small videos. I like me some two-minute videos. Where they don't like videos is over at the Pentagon and DOD. And tell me about DOD and what issues are specific to the DOD when it comes to wide area networks.
So DOD is probably our biggest customer set in the federal government. They have some very unique issues that work perfectly for what we do as a company. The biggest issue that DOD has is the fact that they're so big. Their networks are global in scale. They're managing some of the largest networks in the world. So just the sheer size and scope of what they're managing makes the efficiencies so much more important. Even the smallest efficiency at a place like DOD can reap millions and millions of dollars in savings. But more importantly, it's the criticality of the mission. The Department of Defense networks aren't just providing support for horizontal applications. They are truly mission-centric. So more and more of the applications that support the warfighter in theater are now network-based. And we actually see battles being won or lost based on the availability of information being sent down to the edge. So this is an exciting part of our business. We have unique solution sets that virtualize all of our technologies and allow the DOD, for instance, to do just about anything we do as a company on a Humvee, or on a helicopter, or on a Navy ship. It's a very, very big part of what we do.
That's when the definition of data set and branch gets to be life and death. I mean, this is serious now. It's not just where the donuts or my Office 365 is slow. This is life and death situations.
Absolutely. And it's actually a big growth area for one of the newer products that we have, which is called Steel Fusion. Once again, the legacy products being Steelhead for WAN optimization and Steel Central for network performance management, application performance management. Steel Fusion's relatively new, and it allows us to project data to the edge. So it allows people with good bandwidth to eliminate the need for a bunch of IT infrastructure down at the edge. As you can imagine, a Humvee, He doesn't have a lot of room for racks and racks of servers, disk, tape, storage, things of that nature. So the SteelFusion product is growing fastest in the DoD and intelligence community, where there's a need for putting compute and cached information at the edge and making sure that it's protected.
I was just thinking that Humvee's not anchored anywhere, is it? It's moving.
So it is moving.
It's another, make it even more difficult.
Yeah, SATCOM technology, of course, being the enabler for providing network down to the edge in the DoD sites is something that we do very well. We have a lot of intellectual property that allows us to optimize SATCOM links. It's not easy to do. Definitely, John, that's a big part of why we're successful in that space.
I had a gentleman in the studio here a few weeks back, and he told me that he did a survey of his house. He had 47 IoT-enabled devices in his house. I said, well, that's kind of interesting. Now, let's go to the U.S. Army. I mean, how many? There's sensors. I don't know about sensors everywhere. These sensors are generating. I don't even want to talk about the problem with big data and data visualization, understanding it, but just generating it and getting it out from the Humvee or whatever. The whole problem in and of itself.
It is. It's obviously not unique to DoD. It's unique to the world in general. I saw an article, I think it was just yesterday, saying that there'll be 6 billion computers attached to the network by next year and 6 million a day being added. Once again, the interesting thing about DoD is it's probably even a greater proliferation because there are so many applications being delivered down to the edge that actually give us an advantage in wartime. And I always say if there's anything that anyone can think of that will benefit the warfighter that involves a sensor, it will be deployed and the networks will be expected to keep up.
And communicate with it. And by the way, there better not be a delay if someone's breaking a perimeter. I mean, this is no delays with this.
Absolutely not. Lives will depend on it. There has to be reliable communications from the, you know, from the edge, from the warfighter all the way back to, the remote data centers that are being set up in theater.
So how should DoD agencies address the network and application performance concerns?
What we like to say is, applications rule. So whether it's a general purpose application or a mission specific application, we ask our customers to look at it from a holistic view. Don't look at it just from the network performance management standpoint or from the cybersecurity and threat prevention standpoint or from the application management standpoint. Look at it from the entire ecosystem, from the end user clicks to disk. Everything in between becomes a potential point where applications can fail. So we spend a lot of time talking to the customer, especially DoD, about looking at the entire ecosystem and making sure they have all the tools they need to make sure the applications perform as expected, the data is where it's at, when it's needed, and most importantly, that if it's in harm's way and something were to happen, like, an embassy was overrun, that there's no threat to the mission, the data can instantly be erased, and there's no threat to the government.
When I'm thinking about your company name, I don't know, for some reason I think of an appliance and a piece of hardware in a server room somewhere, but as we continue this conversation, the transition goes away from the hardware into software and almost like a platform. I guess that's the new way to look at Riverbed. It's really not an appliance in a corner somewhere anymore, is it?
That's a great point, because in the federal market specifically, we are kind of out front the rest of the company in providing virtualized versions of everything we sell, whether it's WAN optimization or storage projection to the edge. So just like there's Steelhead, there's virtual Steelhead, and the largest consumer of virtual Steelheads for the company is the DoD. Just like I talked about SteelFusion, it is in fact an appliance for delivering those services to the edge, but we're also developing a virtual SteelFusion product, which is being driven once again by DoD and the intelligence customers. So I haven't seen the exact number yet, but I think close to 50% of our revenue will be derived from virtualized versions of our appliance-based technologies within the next 1 to 2 years.
So when you think of applications and securing the network, where does encryption play in all this?
Encryption plays a huge part. So whether it's encrypting data at rest or encrypting data in flight, everything we do provides the necessary encryption that the government needs in order to make sure that the data is in fact safe at all times. So we include the one that everyone needs for data at rest, AES 256 encryption, for instance, is included in the products that we sell for caching data and projecting storage out to the edge. And the same thing with SSL encryption for data in flight. It's built into everything that we do, and we have all the certifications necessary for government operation.
Back when I was studying for my certifications, getting all those silly letters that you take those tests and everything else, I learned about encryption. And people always talk about delay with encryption. Well, it takes a certain amount of time. And I think this has been the problem. But this fits in nicely with what speed of the network and delay in encryption. I mean, you have to have data that's encrypted sent over to a warfighter who is mobile, and it's got to be encrypted and fast at the same time. So this is the double whammy that you have to deliver on, isn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, compute's kept up with that problem. So most people today expect encryption to not in any way interfere with the performance of the applications that are being delivered. So I think we've mostly gotten beyond that at this point in time.
Well, that's good, because when I first started studying it, it was just a major obstacle for me, and I'm glad you've overcome it. Let's take a break, come back. We'll talk more about technologies and local area networks, and maybe learn about some of your personal technology preferences. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Our guest is Davis Johnson, Vice President, Head of U.S. Public Sector for Riverbed. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Davis Johnson, Vice President, Head of U.S. Public Sector for Riverbed. Easy one here. You can find that pretty easily. You don't have to spell it out. Riverbed.com. If you want to get this survey, you go to riverbed.com and look for the survey. They have a whole section for federal, for govies, all kinds of information. There's blogs and tweets and videos, and you can learn a lot about the product just from there. If you want to follow them on Twitter, it's at Riverbed. That's awful simple. I don't have a whole lot to say about Twitter, but I have a lot to say about people in the studio. What happens is people ask me on Twitter and in personally, they say, well, that guy in the studio, what kind of phone does he have? And so I've come up with a scientific 10-question test that's going to determine if you are, in fact, a card-carrying nerd. And the first question is, do you have an Instagram account?
No.
How many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
I don't ever buy it.
Oh, you're
phone.
Falling fast. This
I
is
just
not
let
strong.
The company buy it. So,
do you have a personal?
I change it every 2 years. Does that count? Does that count?
2 years is not. Nerds don't do that. Nerds change every 2 months. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
Yes.
Have you ever used Meerkat or Periscope?
No.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
iPhone.
What's the most popular app on that iPhone?
Oh my gosh, that'll make me think. It would have to be my mail.
That's a weak answer, very weak answer. It should be something crazy like tracking planets or something like that. That's what nerds would have.
That would be Kevin Hanahan. Yeah. He actually tracks planets from his iPhone.
Now there is a nerd for you.
He's our head of engineering.
I'll bet. So we break into your house tonight. How many tablet devices do we see floating around your house?
You couldn't count them all.
Wow, that's more than 10, I guess, huh?
Probably close to that.
When was your most recent post in social media?
Late last week.
And when is your Apple Watch due? Have you ordered that $17,000 one? Did you order your Apple Watch yet?
I saw one. Does that count?
No, you're failing this whole nerd test. You're not getting many points. Lastly, last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
Electronic.
Whew. Boy, you try to save
salvage myself.
That one, but just weakly, you're squeaking by. Don't ever tell anyone you're a nerd or a hipster or anything like that, because these answers, you got to work on them. You got to get a new phone every, 2 months or something. That's what you're supposed to do. If I would have talked about the Apple phone or the Apple Watch several years ago, no one would believe me. It's awful hard to predict the future. And we just had an anniversary of Back to the Future. It's awful hard to say what's going to happen 10 or 15 years down the road. I think we saw the natural progression from networking to local area networking to wide area networking, and then, software-defined networking, software-defined, wide area networking. That seems to be kind of logical. Where is this logic going to head? Where do you see the government going in the next 5-7 years in terms of this network management?
Well, I think I said earlier that there's a trend towards software-defined everything. So server virtualization made possible the concept of virtualizing everything. So compute is already a commodity. Storage is rapidly becoming a commodity. And networking is pervasive and is also becoming a commodity. And there's multiple different types of networks available to applications no matter where they're running. So software-defined everything, really, software-defined data centers as well, means that all of the intelligence that goes into compute, networking, storage, and application infrastructure can be virtualized and run on a commodity platform anywhere on the planet. Doesn't matter. And I think that's going to be very big. I mean, it's going to happen first in the commercial arena because of the unique nature that the government has with protecting data. They're going to be a little bit less or more reluctant to jump to a shared service cloud. So we see a lot of private clouds, and to get to the you know, the utopia of software-defined everything, you really have to be comfortable with putting all of your data up in a cloud environment. And the government clearly is not there yet.
And you got to toss around this word hybrid as well. There's not black and white. It seems like hybrid seems to be a word that's going to be used in this transition.
Absolutely, especially as it relates to the networking space. You hear hybrid IT a lot, but you're also hearing hybrid networking as well. And if you look at an application on an iPhone, it doesn't care how it gets back to the data center. And that's a good thing. And government applications are being deployed today. They have the same logic. Just find me the quickest, most cost-effective, efficient way to get from the user interface back to the data center, and it'll take that path autonomously.
Now, looking at my perspective over the years here, there's a lot of well-intentioned projects, and they have some unintended consequences. Let's talk about data center consolidation. I guess one of the precipitants for data center consolidation is virtualizing servers. We talked about it. Okay, so you can virtualize servers, you can do a lot more with less, and you can consolidate the data centers. And all of a sudden, if you reduce the number of data centers, it's possible that you're going to have one more length between the data center and the branch. And so what does this mean for my listeners? I mean, all well and good, but you know, this is more latency problems, perhaps, more issues that Riverbed has to address.
Yeah, there are good and bad things associated with data center consolidation, as I said earlier. And obviously, one of the great things is greater economies, potentially greater performance as applications can take advantage of elastic compute and elastic storage on an as-needed basis for peak workloads. But the downside of it, and we saw this with the OPM breach, is when data and applications are moved away from private data centers that specific agencies own, it gets a little bit more uncomfortable that you might be losing control over protecting your data. So, for instance, the applications and data that were breached through OPM were sitting in a shared services data center. So there could be a bit of a fallback because of that.
There's all kinds of terms we've been throwing around here for the last hour. Here's a term that maybe you can define for listeners, zero branch IT. What does that mean? That's a funny one, isn't it?
That's unique to us, so that's our term. You won't hear that unless you're talking to a Riverbed person, so I hope you hear it all the time. what zero branch IT means, eliminating all traditional legacy IT from the edge or the branch. For the government, of course, we just call it the edge. And what you have right now out there are discrete platforms for compute and storage and networking and switches and routers. And you also probably have a Riverbed appliance if you're in the federal government because we're so widely installed. Zero branch IT means you really only need one appliance at the edge that will automatically optimize the link between the edge and the data center, providing the most ideal networking performance that you can get, and project data from the SAN at the data center out to the edge site. So it means you can instantly provision new applications. You do not need to back up the remote sites. You can automatically recover remote sites in the case of a disaster. And you don't need IT administrators at the edge. So zero branch IT means literally it is an iPhone for the branch site.
And I just wrote down a four-letter word. It's COOP, continuous operation. That's when you're talking about this continuous operation. That's what it implies here, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I mean, the holy grail for what Steel Fusion wants to do and be once again is an iPhone like appliance for remote sites. So when you buy your iPhone and you load your applications and you connect to the network, everything just happens instantly. In 8 minutes, you're out of the store. If you drop it in a puddle and you need a new one, you go back and you're up and running in less than 30 minutes. That's what branch sites are striving to get to. And the Steel Fusion appliance from Riverbed is the first one in the market that gives you that type of capability. Once again, once you plug it in at the remote site, it connects with the data center and automatically downloads the applications and the data that are needed. So it's a new paradigm in the market, and we're very excited about it.
We just have 2 minutes left. I'm going to toss out a word that's popular in the world of healthcare IT. I've had a lot of people from HHS here, and they talk about interoperability, and that means something very specific in the world of healthcare IT and medical records. Does this word apply for the different types of communication devices you have to work with, or does that not apply at all in your world?
Sure, it applies both with the technology that we're dealing with every day, but also with the government mission. Government agencies are striving to be much more interoperable. For instance, after 9/11, the entire intelligence community came together around that and provided ways to interoperate with each other to prevent future threats. in the technology world, when we talked earlier, John, about software-defined everything, by virtualizing all of the functions associated with compute, storage, networking, and data protection, they have to be compliant with open standards, and a big tenet of that is interoperability.
Yeah, I just didn't know if that has specific meaning for these different types of broadband and communication devices out there. They're so different from the healthcare world. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We've had a discussion about WAN and virtualizing networks with Davis Johnson, Vice President, Head of U.S. Public Sector for Riverbed. Thanks, Davis.
Thanks, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.